The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Here on NBC Sports. Dave Burns with you, along with Parker Kligerman and AJ Allmendinger, who was in the Xfinity Series race Monday at Bristol. Now, that was the second race of the weekend. And I think in both cases, we saw some pretty wild finishes, which we do expect at Bristol. We'll get to that in a minute. First, I want to talk to AJ about his night. And it started out on a beautiful afternoon, man. The only thing that was way, way different was no practice, show up and go. What was that like?
Yeah, I really felt like it was a great idea in early March when we decided to run Bristol after not making the race at Daytona. I didn't expect no practice or qualifying, but I felt like right away I got into a rhythm. It really helped the Colic Racing Chevys. They've been fast all year, and everybody on that race team, that organization, showed up with three really fast race cars. So once I got in the rhythm early on after the competition yellow, we had a fast race car, and then it's typical Bristol. Driving through the field, I think we got up to as high as seventh or eighth. Got contact with a lap car and got spun out. Had a little bit of damage from that. We fixed that. Got back up to 10th at the end of the second stage. And then I think we were running seventh or eighth and cut down a tire. Got those two laps back and got back to the free pass with the final green-white checkered and was able to get around three or four cars at the end of it and salvage a top 10. So I look at it two different ways. For no practice, no qualifying, my first race back, really my first non-super speedway road course race since 2018, it was a solid day. It could have been better. I felt like if we got track position, might have had a chance to actually win the race because there were times we were the fastest race car on the racetrack. But that's Bristol. It happens. And still a top 10 and a good way to at least somewhat start my season.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Parker, I know you've seen that and you've felt that before, yeah. So pretty typical, huh?
It is, but AJ, I'm curious. So we talked about, or we saw during that race, like you mentioned, you got into a lap car and there was just a lot of craziness, and it seemed like the racetrack was just incredibly hard to drive in some respects. And, you know, we maybe thought it was going to be a little easier considering that the cup cars had run the day before, laid down a bunch of rubber, but it just looked like that racetrack was super slick, especially if you're out of that, you know, traction compound on the bottom. What were you experiencing? What did you expect going into it? And then what actually happened when you got on the racetrack and felt like, oh, this is totally different?
Yeah, you know, really my big question was after the cup race, are you going to respray that? And because if you – and you've experienced it, Parker – once it gets run off, then you kind of start searching around for different levels of grip, wherever that may be. Usually at Bristol, it goes up to the top. But they did put a light coat on it. So it was just enough where we had to run on it because it was quicker. And if you got off it because nobody was really moving around the racetrack, all the marbles and all the rubber from that and off the tires especially started just kind of going to the middle lane and the top. So I tried to run the middle a couple times, even just trying to pass a lot slower lap cars. I'd run the middle and about hang on for the whole corner. So I think that's what really made for so much contact was the fact that everybody was forcing their way down to the bottom and nobody wanted to get off that bottom. And if you did, I had a couple of times, there was a couple of guys that would literally just sit against my door getting in the corner, even still trying to get a little of that traction compound. So trying to pass other cars was a difficult challenge that we all had to face.
So AJ, how much of that do you think contributed to what we saw on Sunday afternoon with the Cup Series, and you know they had the variety of traction degrees with the sprayed area and the non-sprayed area, and then to what we saw at the end of your race with a couple of hard charging and you know really trying very very hard to win at Bristol, kind of crashing to the end.
Yeah, I mean, really, what happens with that traction compound is they put it down at the beginning of the weekend and say the spring race where it's just a Xfinity Cup weekend. Usually what happens is between the two practices, everybody kind of runs the bottom. And it's really like the last, it's happened every year, the last like 15, 20 minutes of that final practice in Cup happy hour, cars start to finally venture to the top because everybody's run the bottom so much, it almost starts running out a little bit. So cars start laying rubber down, and that top comes in with like 15 minutes to go, and all of a sudden the lap times drop. And yeah, you get back. NASCAR usually would respray it, so we'd run the bottom for a little bit, but everybody would venture back up to the top because that's where all the grip and rubber had really got put down. Well, with no practice, nobody really wanted to venture up there. And then really in the Cup race, I felt like just watching it because there were so many cautions. Parker, we never had that long run. I mean, we had like smaller long runs, but it was never that long run where the tires are worn out. It's hard to keep your car on the bottom, so you have to go to the top. And because of that, it really never got run into the degrees that we've seen in the past when there's practice. So that's what made for such tight battling and really for so many cautions, because it was like almost old Bristol. You had to run the bottom because that's where the grip was. And cars would start forcing their way by other cars. And because of that, we saw a lot of contact between really both races.
And to add on to that, you know, I think one of the things that fans might not understand about, you know, when we talk about being forced to the bottom and racing down there and why we saw Chase Elliott, you know, make that move that almost looked like Hail Mary move, right, on the bottom and knocking into Logano. And we saw it out of Noah Gragson on the inside of Allgaier. And, you know, what it is it's, you know, when we talk about bigger tracks, right? When you get squeezed to the bottom, a lot of times you'll lose that arrow on the side and you sort of lose the grip in the car and you'll slide up into them. But at Bristol, it's almost because you have to pinch off that entry on the bottom sometimes if they're squeezing you, that it just doesn't allow the car to turn. And when you're late in the race and you're trying to roll the bottom like that and beat the guy on the outside and both lanes are pretty even, or the guy on the top is fighting to keep you down as low as possible to cause that squeeze, that's why we end up with those incidents. And I don't know, you know, from your experience last night, experience, you know, going off in the corners, how sketchy that was sometimes when you had a car squeezing outside, and imagine doing that, you know, last lap trying to beat that car to the line. It's why you ended up with those, you know, the contact that we saw.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Yeah, let's be honest. Chase Elliott, that was a Hail Mary.
I liked
his interview after. Yeah, he was like, oh, I knew when I turned off the wall that it wasn't going to stick. I was like, yeah, because when you turned off the wall, you were still wide open. that was a Hail Mary. That wasn't the fact that he got pinched off. He was going to send it two car lengths deeper that he had driven 498 laps, basically. But, yeah, I mean, for me yesterday, that was the biggest challenge I had. I was a little bit free in, which you have to be at Bristol. There's a fine line of making your car comfortable getting into the corner. And usually if it's really comfortable getting in the corner, it means because it won't turn in the center and off the corner. So you got to be a little free in to help that car rotate in the middle and get that good shot off the corner. And I figured that out. But the problem I had was when I was trying to get around somebody, if they wanted to really challenge me, they'd get against my door and whew, I'd hold my breath. And, you know, late in the race, I get it, especially in the case of Joey Logano, Chase Elliott, and then what we saw last night, Noah Gragson and Justin Allgaier. You're going for the win. That outside car is going to take that chance. Hey, I'm going to pin you to the bottom. I know you're going to get loose, bounce into me. I just hope when you bounce into me, you bounce down instead of up. And that's all fair in racing. What I struggled with yesterday, I was in lap 20 trying to make a pass for 12th. That guy is on the door, and you're like, Are we really doing this early in the race? But that's what you have to do at Bristol, especially with the traction compound and knowing that the top lane's not in and the middle lane was almost like driving on a sheet of ice. It was so sketchy. So yeah, it made it a tough race, and really especially trying to pass another car if they wanted to challenge you and be on your door.
All right, you guys. Now that is fantastic breakdown, technical wise and everything else. But at the end of the day, Joey is mad at Chase and they've got to go to Atlanta next week. And Justin is mad at Noah and they've got to be in team meetings this week. Parker, what does that look like?
Well, that's you just sort of laid the landscape, right? You got two guys who obviously don't need to speak to each other at all and will not be happy with each other going forward. And we see, you know, we know how that sort of plays out. But then the more interesting one to me is Noah and Justin, because they're teammates. Because, you know, when you look at, especially the Xfinity Series, when you have a guy like Justin who is that veteran, you know, perennial championship contender, and having a young upstart like Noah coming in there who wants to make a name for himself and wants to prove things, and he wrongs you in a race that you definitely dominated, you know, that is a very frustrating thing, and it's a very complex issue to work out because, one, they're your teammate. You should, you know, try to work together, but at the same token, this person wronged you. So there's no easy fix for that. Knowing Justin, you know, he is he's one of the best teammates I've ever had in my career because he's such an open book and he's someone that really wants to help you. But I know, you know, as a competitor, he's going to have to, you know, sort of start to say, all right, well, if I'm going to be wronged like that, how much am I really going to help this guy out in the future? So those two are going to have to work that one out. That's a complex one and one that no one – is, you know, no one envies, because AJ, you know this, when you have a run-in with a teammate, that can be a very tricky road to getting back to being just normal teammates again.
Yeah, that's a tough thing. I'm trying to figure out why we didn't have Dale Jr. on this right now, because he's the one that's got to lead that team meeting. It was his two cars. I want to know what Jr. has to say, but I saw the comment from Noah last night, and this is where Justin Allgaier probably has to put it in the back of his mind, or really probably the forefront of his mind. Noah's comment was, yep, Justin said we would talk later, but I rode to the racetrack with my crew chief, and that's the only person I have to ride home with, meaning I'm here to win for my race team, and I don't care if I have to bounce off a teammate to go do that and win the race. And as if you're on that team with Noah Gragson, that's all you want to hear from your driver is, I'm out there to win. I don't care who's in my way. I'm going to make it happen. But, yes, that is going to be difficult moving forward, for especially for Justin Allgaier, knowing that, you know what, if the shoe's on the other foot, my teammate, he roughed me up, I'm going to have to do the same thing. So, more importantly, Dale Jr. is probably going to have to talk to these guys if it keeps moving forward in that direction, because it's going to be costing him the most money when that happens.
Oh, don't we love the dynamics of multi-car teams in NASCAR? Yep, a lot of fun until it isn't, and then, like you say, Junior has to help solve the problems there. Well, bottom line is Allgaier ends up finishing 18th after leading the most laps. Noah Gragson wins for the second time in 2020. His playoff hopes are solidly in, and they go on to Atlanta this weekend. Quick preview from you, AJ. You get to race again.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate. College Racing has offered me to race again this weekend. I'm really looking forward to getting on a mile-and-a-half racetrack. Atlanta, and Parker, you know this. This is, you've driven on it. It's one of the most fun racetracks you could be a part of. I know at some point they're going to have to repave this place because there's a lot of cracks and seams in it, but I hope it's not for a while because it is slick. You go out there, by the time you roll out of the pits, you go through turn one and two at full speed. By turn three, you're like, I want tires again, because it uses up tires, and especially in an Xfinity car where it's low downforce, big horsepower. From lap one to lap 30, you lose almost 3 seconds. And the driver, it's fun, but it's a handful at all times. What makes that place awesome, you can drag the splitter around the apron in the corners in fine grip. You can run right against the fence in fine grip. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm so fortunate that Matt Colleague and Chris Rice, everybody at Colleague Racing, is allowing me to get back in one of their Chevys and go out there and try it again. They've had fast race cars all year. I feel like this team's going to win a lot of races. Hopefully I can be a small part of that. But, yeah, this is one of my favorite racetracks, and I'm pretty sure, Parker, if you pull most of the NASCAR garage in any series that they run, Atlanta is high up on their tracks of what they love driving on.
Guys, I have one comment. Hashtag never repave. All right.
Perfect way to end it. And they keep threatening too, but not so far this year once again. Everyone, thanks for joining us on NASCAR America at Home. More commentary coming your way on NBCSports.com or on our YouTube channel. Make sure to check it out. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you again soon.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.